Here we are tonight on Resurrection Sunday, and this is one of those days of the year that should be very, very special to each of us because of the events that took place beginning bright and early this morning. Anybody go to the sunrise this morning? Anybody? No, you're going to the sunset service. Anybody not get a handout? Anybody not? Could somebody help me here? Could somebody help me with this? If you didn't get a handout, Brad will give you one. And what we're going to do is review what happened this day. How many of you think, without using your Bibles, could go through each and every event that took place today, on this day, starting early this morning before the sun came up? The events that transpired this day 1,983 years ago. I'm assuming it was in 32 AD that the event took place. The resurrection day took place. And it's something that I really never, until the recent years, I never really got into the chronology so much as I have in recent years. And I put it on paper. And I noticed that the films out there, the movies that do Resurrection Sunday, they seem to vary with from it one to the other. They don't have a consistent presentation. So what I did was I went in, I got my parallel chronological Bible out, and I took the chronological Bible and I went through each part of the day, early morning, early to mid-morning, mid-morning to noon, and so on, and looked at the events in Scripture, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and put it in chronological order. And I did this last year. I'm going to do it again this year. I'm reminded of Isaiah that says we should look at study the word line upon line, precept upon precept. This is one of those special days. I think of it, you know, Christmas, we make a big deal about Christmas, and we celebrate Jesus' birthday, right? And how many of you know when your birthday, what day your birthday happens? Everybody knows their birthday. What day? It's a special day, right? And so Jesus' birth is special. But I think even more special is Resurrection Day. That's even more special. When you are born again, born a second time in a sense, spiritually, you're born again. That's a very special time as well. Well, Jesus was resurrected on the third day after he was crucified. And a number of things took place on that day that really should be embedded in our minds. And so I want to go over that with you. And there were five appearances that took place on that day. Five appearances. Jesus appeared five different occasions. And they were to his disciples. By the way, over the next 40 days, Jesus will appear to only his disciples. He won't appear to any unbelievers. He only appears to believers between now and the next 40 days. And on the 40th day, there's the ascension into heaven. Of course, that's a special day too. But I'd like to go with you step by step. There are some little gaps in there. I'll try to fill the gaps in the best I can. But you have a handout, and the handout will match, the numbers on the left-hand side of the handout will match the slide. You'll see a number on the slide, and that's where we are at as we go chronologically through the appearances of Christ. But we're going to set it up. First, what I'd like to do is show you which five appearances those were. I'm going to go through them really fast. He first appeared to Mary Magdalene at the tomb. Secondly, he appeared to other women as they were searching for the disciples. Thirdly, he appeared to Peter. Fourthly, he appeared to two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And then finally, he appeared to the 10 disciples while they are locked in a room. Thomas was not there. Of course, Judas was dead. He doesn't appear till Thomas till next Sunday. So anyway, we're focused on only what happens today. On what happens today, beginning very early in the morning. Now, we know it was dark. when an angel rolled away the stone that covered the tomb's entrance. And we have an example. We have a, now this tomb here is probably a little smaller than the actual tomb. We don't really know. But we know that the rock was very, very heavy. The one in Gordon's Calvary, in just outside of Jerusalem, at what could be the tomb of Jesus, we don't know for sure. But the rock, the stone that was rolled in front of the door was taller than this by about this much. It would have been about that tall. So it was definitely, see how easy I rolled that? I'm very strong. No, that's, this is made of paper mache. But styrofoam. But the rock that was rolled away was a big rock. And we'll find that out in a moment. We'll see that in a moment. But Matthew connects this event to an earthquake. And we see this in Matthew 28, verses 2 through 4. And I'm going to show you the scriptures up here behind me on the PowerPoint slide as we go through this. So we read Matthew 28, verse 2, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. So we know that the angel rolled the stone away. We know that. That's what the scripture says. And then the angel sat on the stone. So it's a pretty big stone, right? If the angel sat on it, it's a pretty big stone. And we won't argue over how many angels can dance in the head of a pin like the Jesuits would do. We'll just say it was a big stone because we know, I don't want to get into that. So his countenance, the angel's countenance, was as white as lightning and his clothing as white as snow. We read in verse 3, verse 4, and the guards shook for fear of him and they became like dead men. Now there were Roman guards there guarding the tomb, an agreement made between Rome and the Jewish priest there, the high priest. And they saw this, and they became like dead men. That's all we know. They became like dead men. And then, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and other women, which include Mary, the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and it says other women. We don't know exactly who. There may have been one, two, three, four, possibly five, maybe six women that went to the tomb. And do you remember why they were going to the tomb? They didn't finish the burial yet. They had basically taken the body down from the cross 3 days earlier. They took the body to the tomb. They started to take care of the body by putting spices on it. They didn't finish. There wasn't enough time. So they decided to come back later on the first day of the week to take care of that. And so that they were going back to continue to put the spices and the myrrh and everything on the body to complete the burial. We know at one point that we're wondering, well, who's going to move the stone? That's one of the questions that they asked. Well, when they came there, the stone was rolled away. So there are these women, and it was still dark as they were on their way. They arrive at the tomb after the sun sets. Now, we learn from John 20, verse 1, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And then in Mark 16, 1 through 4, we learn about the other women. Mary, the mother of James, Salome, brought spices, Joanna, and the other women. Joanna was married to a very rich Roman, not a Roman, but she was married to a very rich man in Sepphoris, just north of Nazareth. And she's probably one of the women that helped support Jesus financially. But they were there to take care of this. And it was very early in the morning, as we read in Mark 16, verse 2. On the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So they left when it was dark. By the time they got to the tomb, the sun had risen. And they said, verse 3, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But they looked up and they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. So at the tomb, when they arrive at the tomb, they find an angel sitting on the large stone that had been rolled away. And the angel tells them the following. He says, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. So, the angel sitting on the stone explains to them as they're walking up to the tomb what just had transpired, told them not to be afraid, acknowledged that they were coming to seek Jesus who was crucified. But the angel tells them, now watch this, the angel tells them that he is not here, for he is risen. That's what the angel said. But do you think that sunk into their heads at this point? It didn't really take a hold. They're still trying, they're assessing. Put yourself in their place. They're trying to assess what is going on here. All they know is that they're coming up to anoint the body. That's really all they're there for. They're not expecting this to take place. And so the angel invites them to come and see where the Lord lay. This is the angel that was sitting on the stone. And so they enter into the tomb, and they find a young man, and we don't know, it doesn't say if this is an angel or not, so we can only guess that it's an angel. They saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Well, I guess so. They're expecting to find Jesus' body there, and here's this young man sitting inside. After an angel outside on the stone said, go in, see where he lay, they go in. The angel outside sitting on the stone didn't say anything about some young man sitting in there in a white robe. He just said, come on in and see where he lay. They walk in, and there's this young man, possibly an angel, sitting there on the right side, and they were alarmed. Well, I think I would be too, you know. What's going on here? And the young man, verse 6, Mark 16, verse 6 says, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. Now, this is the second time they hear that he is risen. You're seeking him. He was crucified, but he is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And then he points to the place where Jesus was laid. And I'm sure at this point, they're still in a state of wonder. Now, the young man goes on and he says, this is Mark 16, verse 7, and go tell his disciples, and then he adds, and Peter, that he is going before you into Galilee. They're in Jerusalem at this point. He's going to go to Galilee. That's about 65 miles north. And there you will see him as he said to you. He had told them, that's where I'm going to see you up there in Galilee. And notice when the young man tells the ladies to go tell the disciples, they single out Peter. Why do you think that would be? Why did you think the young man would single out, or this angel would single out Peter? Well, I think it's interesting in light of what had taken place just three nights earlier when Peter had denied him. And Peter, of course, after he had denied him three times, he wept bitterly. This is four nights earlier. He wept bitterly. And he felt that he basically had sealed his fate. And so Peter was singled out, I believe, just so that when they went back to tell the disciples, and oh, by the way, he said, and Peter, wouldn't that make you feel good if you had done something like that? And he said, oh, by the way, and he singled you out, Peter. He singled you out, L. He singled you out. That would be very comforting indeed. And so the women now are told to go tell the disciples. Now remember, I believe there are at least five ladies there, five women there. And obviously, I say obviously, perhaps they're perplexed as they exit the tomb, as they're leaving the tomb. Why would they be perplexed? Because according to Luke 24, verse 4, as they leave, go out the tomb, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now, picture what has just happened. They're coming to the tomb early in the morning with all the spices. They're on their way. They're wondering who's going to move the stone. They get there, and there's an angel sitting on the stone. And the angel tells him, well, you know, you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He's been risen. And then they go, oh, why? Go inside and see where they lay. So they go inside, and then there's another young man in there. And they're going, whoa, what's going on here? And he basically tells them the same thing. And that angel, I believe it's an angel, says, go tell his disciples and Peter what's going on here. And so now they leave. They go out of the tomb, and they go out outside the tomb, and they run into two men who stood by them, notice, in shining garments. Luke 24, verse 5 then says, then as they were afraid and they bowed their faces to the earth, to the two men, and said, the two men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? And now we get a third time, you know, well, you come here, this is where the dead are, but the living, he's alive. Why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. A third time. These group of ladies, they've been now told three times that he is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, that he would be resurrected on the third day, saying the Son of Man must be delivered in the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise again. He had told this to them, and these are the ladies, obviously. He told the ladies, we know he told the disciples. He told, remember Peter said, Peter said, oh no, God forbid, that's not going to happen. You're not going to die. You're not going to go to Jerusalem and die. And Jesus said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Did he not say that? Jesus had told the disciples this was going to happen. Obviously he told the ladies, because they were aware of it as well. So this isn't a hidden thing. And yet it's not dawning on them. The third time now, we see this where they are being told about what was going to take place. And you're to go back to Galilee now. Go back 65 miles north up to Galilee, and you'll meet him there. And then they remembered his words. Luke 24:8. And then they remembered his words. It took three times. Three times. He's not dead, he's risen. Three times. Have you ever found that happen to you? Someone comes in and they tell you something and it doesn't take, and then they tell you again, and then they slap you on the face and say, they tell you a third time, and then you finally start to get it. Has that ever happened to you? That's even quadruple this. I mean, this is a pretty amazing situation, because they were expecting to find the body of Jesus in that tomb. And it took three times for that to happen. So what do? They leave, and they leave how? In fear. We see Mark 16, verse 8. So they, that would be Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Salome, Joanna, and the others, they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, and notice, for they trembled. They trembled, and it says, and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, they're probably still assessing the situation. They remembered what he said, but they're still not certain about what has taken place. And now they're doing what they're told, right? Even though they're still not clear exactly what it is, they're leaving, and notice they're trembling, they're amazed, but they don't tell anybody. There are other people around. They're not running and telling other people. Their mission is to do what? Go tell the disciples, right? And Peter. So that's where we're at this point. Now, we also know they left with great joy, because we read in Matthew 28, verse 8, so they went out quickly from the tomb with fear, Matthew says, but Matthew adds, and great joy, and ran to bring the disciples his disciples the word about what had just taken place. Now, while this is going on, while the gals are leaving the tomb to go find the disciples. Now remember, the disciples basically don't live in Jerusalem. Remember that. Where do they live? Way up north, right? They live up in the area. They live in Galilee. They're down 65 miles south in Jerusalem for what reason? For Passover. That's why they're there. They're in Jerusalem. They don't live in Jerusalem. They're probably staying in somebody's home, so they're spread out through Jerusalem living in different homes, right? And we learn that as we read through the text. So, as they're leaving, and while they're on their way, the gals are on the way to go tell the disciples, in the meantime, what are the Roman guards doing? Remember the Roman guards that fainted and fell as dead? And they realize now they're in big caca. I don't know if that's a word, but you know it's not a very good one. Because the Roman soldiers knew if they failed to fulfill their duty to guard a prisoner and then the prisoner escapes, you know what they would do? This is a fact. Check me out on it. They would take the Roman's clothes, the soldier's clothes, and they would burn him in his own clothes and put him to death. And so you know that the Roman soldier was disciplined, number one, not to fall asleep. Unlike the recent movie I saw where they were getting drunk and they both fell asleep. That was not a good representation of the truth. Roman soldiers were disciplined. They wouldn't do something like that. They knew their goose would be cooked. You know what that means. And so, we do know when the angel appeared, it shook them up and they fainted. They fell as though dead. And then when they came to, what did they do? Who did they go to? Did they run to their commander to say, hey, our prisoner got away? Did they do that? No, they ran to who? They ran to someone who they thought could help them out. So it says in Matthew 28, verse 11, some of the guard came into the city and reported the chief priest all the things that had happened. They ran to the chief priests because, you see, the chief priests had arranged the execution of Jesus and they all with Pilate, and they also had arranged, the movie got this part right, they also arranged to have the tomb guarded by Roman soldiers because they wanted the Roman seal put on the tomb. They got that right. And so the chief priests were the ones, the leaders, religious leaders, were responsible for setting this whole thing up. So that's who they go to see if they can somehow get some help. And so they went to the city, they reported the chief priests all the things that had happened. Now remember, in the meantime, the gals, they're running out there to go tell the disciples. And then Matthew 28, verse 12, and after they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, this would be Pilate, this would be the top boss, their boss, the commander of all the commanders, will appease Pilate, will appease him and make you secure. In other words, we'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. Not only are we going to pay you to keep your mouth shut and tell him about the truth and then tell him the story that we concocted, we'll also protect you from your bosses so they won't put you to death. So this is a pretty good deal for the guards, wouldn't you think? So that's what they did. They went out and they spread the word that the disciples came that night and stole the body away as they slept. But that's what the chief priest told him to say. Okay. So the guards took the money and they did as they were instructed. Now, while that was going on, the women are searching for the disciples, and we know that they split up. We know that Mary Magdalene went to go get John and Peter, and the other ladies went to go find the other disciples. The Bible is vague about this, who went where, but we know by deduction that Mary Magdalene, her assignment was to go get Peter and John. And that's exactly what she did. She knew where they were. She went and got them. We don't know if they were staying at separate houses. It seems to suggest that Peter and John were staying in separate homes. So Mary went to get them. We learned that in John chapter 20, verse 10, by the way. And the other women, they were going in another direction. And we learn this as you read through. It's not a direct point, but you glean it as you read through the passage. Now, we come to point number 9 in the notes. So Mary Magdalene located Peter and John at their homes where they were guests. We learned that they were guests in homes in John chapter 20 verse 2 during the Passover. But amazingly, Mary did not tell Peter and John what the angels told her to share. Three times, right? Three times they told him to go tell his disciples and Peter what? That Jesus has risen from the dead. Three times. And so what does she do? John 20 verse 2, and she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, that would be John, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Now, where was she? Of course, this is consistent with eyewitness testimony. You'll find if you ask a police investigator, when he collects the eyewitness evidence and so on and puts it all together, he will find inconsistencies in the testimony, and it's his job to take the testimony of the different witnesses and then piecemeal it together so he has a picture of what actually took place. So Mary Magdalene isn't a very good eyewitness, is she? She did see what happened, but she's not saying exactly what she was told to say. She said they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and that's not what the angels told them. The angel said he has risen. Now, upon hearing this news, Peter therefore ran out. Now, what does Peter know at this point? All he knows is that Mary Magdalene told him they have taken him. That's all he's heard. And so he doesn't know what that means. John doesn't know what it means, and the other disciple, that would be John, they were going to the tomb, so they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter. I don't know why John had to put that in there. This is his letter, by the way. John had to point out that he outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And then verse 5 of John 20, and he, stooping in and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. So John, probably being the younger and obviously swifter, he gets there first. He stops and he looks in. He doesn't go in. And he sees the cloth, the linen cloths lying there. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb and he saw the linen cloths lying there. Peter just goes right by John, right into the tomb. And the handkerchief that had been around his head. So we see these linen cloths, and there's a handkerchief that was around his head. So we see these two things, a handkerchief that had been around his head, verse 7, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. So there were two things that you would expect to see. And I don't understand why these directors, they're reading the same text we're reading, and then when they do the film and they do the scene and you see it, they don't do it the way you read it. There's a separate cloth that's folded there, and then there's the other linen cloths, and okay, so let's keep going. So John 20 verse 8, then the other disciple John, who came to the tomb first, had to point that out again, went in also, and he saw and he believed. Now we don't know what exactly it is that he believed, because at this point all they know is that according to Mary Magdalene they have taken him, and we don't know where they put him. And so John goes in and he sees it and he looks at it, he assesses it, he saw and believed. He saw and believed. Let's keep going. Now, 11th point. According to Luke, now they depart. So after they go in there, they see it. As far as we know, there's not a lot of conversation going on between Peter and John, because there isn't anything in the text. If there was, it wasn't put in the text. And so now they leave. And according to Luke, when they left, Peter marveled to himself. Luke 24, verse 12, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, notice, marveling to himself. I have six translations here. Six translations that I'm looking at. Three of them use the word marveling. Two of them use wondering to himself. Wondering. You know, wondering. I'm wondering about this. Marveling. I'm wondering what's going on. That kind of thing. Another one says amazed. Amazed. I'm amazed. And what does that suggest? What is the connotation? I can't put it all together. I can't put all the details together. So I'm wondering about it. I'm amazed and I can't. I know that this is real. I see that it's real. But I can't. I haven't quite drawn a conclusion yet as to what has taken place. So Peter has a different take than John. John saw and he believed. But Peter went away amazed, wondering, went away marveling to himself at what had happened. Now, he kept it to himself. He didn't, at this point, share with anybody. He just marveled to himself at what had happened. Neither John nor Peter understood the scriptures at this point as to what had taken place. We learn that in verse 9 of John 20. For as yet they did not know the scripture. Isn't that interesting? And John's writing this. So that makes me wonder what John was thinking when he saw and believed. He said, he wrote, I saw and believed. And then here he's saying, for as yet they, that would be John and Peter, did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. So I wonder what it is that John was believing. He saw and believed. Isn't that interesting? I don't claim to know what he believed at that point because the text doesn't tell us. It says here a few verses down that as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Now, how many times did he have to tell them that he was going to rise from the dead? He told them point blank. They had a major confrontation with Peter there at Caesarea Philippi, way up north, when Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, the first pope. You're going to accept that? Okay. Peter then says, when Jesus tells him, right after Peter made this great acknowledgement, this is a great faith statement, that upon that rock of faith, I'm going to build my church, Jesus says. And then Jesus says, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to put me to death, and I'm going to rise on the third day. And Peter remonstrates with him and says, no, that's not going to happen. And how could that happen? Well, Peter probably felt very strong at that point. God anointed me, just anointed me with his wonderful word. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter, but the God from heaven has revealed this. So he must have felt he had another great anointing. So he says, no, God forbid this will not happen to you, Jesus. And then what did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Isn't that what he said? And you think that traumatic moment with Peter would have remembered this context of that circumstance because he just told Jesus, you're not going to go to Jerusalem and die. Maybe he didn't hear the part about being resurrected on the third day. I don't know. I'm not telling you one way or the other. I just don't know. I'm just laying it out there for you to sort of chew on a little bit. So Peter then gets back. And John, of course, John was there when Peter was challenging Jesus up at Caesarea Philippi. John comes back. Neither one. At that point, they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They did not know. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. So they each had separate homes. They go back to whoever it was they were staying with. They go back to their homes. Okay, you have the picture so far? Now, in the meantime, what happened to Mary? Is she still back at the tomb? And what about the other gals? They're still trying to find the other disciples? Can you see how this is all shaping up? You see, while the other gals are looking for the other disciples to let them know what's going on, Mary Magdalene found Peter and John and says, hey, they have taken my Lord, and I don't know where they put him. Peter and John run to the tomb. They then look in, and that whole episode takes place. Then they go back home. In the meantime, the other women are still on their way trying to get the other disciples. This is all going on about the same. The guards, they're over there. They're having their meeting with the chief priests and so on. We're now about early to mid-morning, maybe about 8 o'clock. About 8 o'clock. Jesus rose somewhere around 6 a.m. And now a couple of hours have gone by. All of this has happened within the last couple of hours. And we come to point number 12 in our handout. And Jesus now makes his first resurrection appearance. So Mary is still back at the tomb, Mary Magdalene. And she is the first one to whom Jesus appears. We learn this in Mark 16, verse 9. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he, Jesus, appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. So Mary is the one that he appears to first. The Gospel of John fills in the details about Mary's experience. So let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 11. Now, but Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. So John and Peter have left. They've left her standing there by herself. And she's standing outside the tomb and she's weeping. And she wept. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. Now remember, she'd already been in there, right? Earlier, the first time. They went in there, right? They saw the young man. The young man says, go tell the disciples and Peter. And so they leave. They run into the other two young men. And then they say the third time, you know, hey, he's risen from the dead. And then they head out and they go back. They go different directions. Mary Magdalene finds Peter and John. All three of them come back. Peter and John then do their thing. They leave, leaving Mary Magdalene there. She's outside. Those two men that were there in shining robes, they're not there now. And so she decides to look back in. Remember, the last time she was in there was a young man in there, possibly an angel was in there, and she stooped in to see what was in there and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white. This time now, instead of one young man in there in a white robe, she sees two angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now picture this. Two angels. She didn't see two angels earlier. It was a young man. Now she stoops and she sees him, and she sees what almost would be likened to the Ark of the Covenant, right? Because in the Ark of the Covenant, what do you have? You have the mercy seat. You have two angels, one at the head and one at the feet. And what are they doing? They're looking down on the mercy seat, and that's what she sees. She goes in there. She sees two angels. And it's almost a replica of the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. And the one's at the head, one's at the feet, and they're looking down where he lay. Isn't that wild? That's wild. The mercy seat. Huh. I love that. And so she sees these two angels sitting there. And then they said to her, verse 13 of John 20, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Well, at least she's consistent with the wrong story. Right? The three times they told her, "He's resurrected from the dead. Go tell the disciples." She goes to Peter and John, and she tells them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Okay, and then she's consistent, at least, with the wrong story. Verse 14, "And now when she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus." Now we can make up all kinds of reasons why she did not know it was Jesus. You know, she was crying and she couldn't see through her tears. We don't know why at this point. We don't know why. We'll come back to that in a moment. "And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, why are you weeping? whom are you seeking? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. So she's still sticking with that story, someone took the body, and she wants to know where the body is. Her mind is set on completing the ceremony for anointing the body. Where she is. Jesus said to her, Mary. And then she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said, Do not cling to me, for I have not as yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. Some try to make some big theological thing over the fact that Jesus said, Don't cling to me, for I haven't ascended to my Father. And it's really, why do that? You don't have to make a big theological thing about it. Because when he appears to the other women, they cling on him. They hold him. And he doesn't say anything at that point. So don't try to think of this as something theological. Maybe Jesus just had a sense of humor. You know, she wouldn't let him go, Hey, you know, let go of me. He's just being funny. I mean, you know, doesn't Jesus have a sense of humor? I'm sure he does. Look at me. Okay. He created us. He has a sense of humor, right? Okay. You know how we laugh at the cute things our dogs do, our pets do? We laugh at the cute little things they do. That's what he does with us. He looks at us and he laughs at us, you know. Maybe not at us, but isn't that cute? Look at Pastor Bill. Isn't he cute? You know, you look in your dog's eyes and you see something's there, but you're wondering what's going on behind those eyeballs. And, you know, God knows what's going on behind our eyeballs. So now, that was the first resurrection appearance to Mary Magdalene. Second resurrection appearance is early to mid-morning. And this is when Jesus appears to the other women. Now, Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, the first one. In the meantime, the other women are still out looking, getting the disciples. And Jesus then appears to the other women after he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And as they, verse 9, Matthew 28, verse 9, as they, the other women, went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, Rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Now remember, Mary clinged on him, and Jesus says, Hey, let go. You know, I'm not going to be able to go to the Father. Now here they hold on to his feet and worshipped him. And then look at how Jesus responds. Verse 10, Then Jesus said to them, Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Jesus is real set on meeting them up in Galilee. That's been the message, has it not? To meet them up in Galilee. But Jesus is now backing up what the angels already told him, and now he's appearing to them and telling them, you know, meet me up in Galilee. And the other women told the disciples. As soon as Jesus parted from them, they then found the other disciples, and they told them that Jesus was alive, but the disciples didn't believe him. We see this in Mark 16, verse 13. And so it says that would be the other women, went and told it to the rest, to the other disciples, but they did not believe them. They didn't believe the women. Mary Magdalene, they didn't believe her either. Okay? So Mary was at the tomb. She takes hold of Jesus. Jesus says, you know, go back and tell him. And so Mary Magdalene goes back and tells him. And Mark 16, verse 10 says, And she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Remember the first story she told them? They have taken him, and I don't know where they have put him. Okay, that's the first story she told them. She goes back to the tomb. And she sees the two angels and says, Well, where did you put them? Just, you know, give them to me and I'll take them. And then they said, Well, you know, go tell the disciples. And so she steps outside the tomb and there she's just standing there. And they have that conversation. And Jesus says, Well, go tell the disciples. And so she now knows It's the truth. So she goes back to the disciples and she tells them, and they don't believe her. They don't believe her. Mark 16, verse 11. Now, Luke 24, verse 11 summarizes how the disciples as a whole felt about what the women were telling them. This is what it says. This is a summary. Luke 24, 1 to 12 is a summary of this whole thing. Here's what verse 11 has to say. Luke 24, 11. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Seemed like idle tales. See, they're still going through a stage of what has just happened. They're still trying to figure it out. And the stories that they heard from the gals, they didn't accept them. They didn't accept their stories. Especially Mary. She already told them one story, and now she's telling them another story. So she doesn't seem to be very credible. The other gals, well, we saw him and he appeared to us and they didn't believe him. And remember the status of women in that culture. Keep that in mind. That may have played a role. I'm not saying absolutely, but it may have played a role in their the disciples in their assessing what actually happened. Okay, now, we're in the late morning to early afternoon. Jesus' third resurrection appearance is now to Peter, and we don't know much about what happened because the Bible doesn't tell us too much, other than Luke 24, verse 34, when the two on the road to Emmaus, they came back to tell the disciples of what they saw. They say that the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Okay, so Jesus, when he spoke to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, he told them that he saw Peter already at that point. So Jesus saw Peter before he saw the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. So we know that Jesus saw Peter, his third resurrection appearance was to Peter. And that was a good thing because Peter was the one, I think, of all the disciples that were alive at this point. He was the one that was in the most hot water, at least in his mind, after denying Jesus three times. So Jesus appeared to Peter to assure him, to let him know that everything's okay. I mean, can you imagine denying your Lord three times? Saying, I don't know him. And remembering that Jesus says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father. Can you imagine what was going around in Peter's head? That he had denied his Lord. And yet Jesus appeared to him. In my opinion, I think Jesus comforted Peter to let him know that everything's going to be okay. We know from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 5, that he appeared, was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. That's another confirmation that Peter saw the resurrected Jesus at that point, on that day. Well, by the afternoon, we have now that we've had three appearances. The first time to Mary Magdalene, the second time to the other women, the third time to Peter, which would be mid-morning, let's say, to early afternoon. And now, in the afternoon, Jesus makes his fourth appearance, and while the disciples were on point number 16, argued with each other over the events of the morning. So here are the disciples now. They're probably arguing with what exactly happened. They don't believe the women. They're in turmoil at this point. And at this point, Jesus reveals himself to two disciples who are on their way back home to Emmaus. Now, Jerusalem is up here. Emmaus is downhill about 7 miles. So they're walking home, walking back home after the events of that day, these two disciples, and they're going back home to Emmaus. And on their way, guess who shows up? Now, when Jesus shows up to these two disciples, we read in verse 12, after that, he appeared in another form to two of them as they walked, that is, walked along the road to Emmaus, and went into the country. Now, what does it mean by another form? After that, he appeared in another form. That's more fully explained for us in Luke 24, verse 16. Luke 24, verse 16. So in your Bibles, go to Luke 24, 16. As you can see, I ran out of time. It takes a long time to do PowerPoint slides. I would have put all the scripture on there, but it takes a while to do all this stuff. So I want you to look with me at Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at verse 16. Luke 24, verse 16. And it says, "But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him." Their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. So this is the same chapter where it says he appeared to him in another form. And we can conclude by putting it in context of verse 16 that they were kept from seeing him as he was. You see, they weren't allowed to really see the real Jesus. And it wasn't until he broke the bread that they probably saw the scars on his hands that realized that it was in fact him. And then their eyes were open to understanding. We saw that earlier in John chapter 20, verse 14. When Mary looked out of sight of the tomb, she didn't recognize him, right? Some say it was because of the tears. Her eyes were filled with tears and it was blurry. And some try to say, well, he was in a different form. And then we see when Jesus met him up in Galilee. Remember, they were in the boat fishing and he was on the shore cooking a meal. They didn't recognize him there either, except one. One of them recognized who it was. Peter, right? But the others didn't. They didn't recognize him while they were doing the fish. And so why is that? I can't tell you why. I don't know why. Don't ask me. It even says that some, when Jesus appeared to the 500, this is at the end of Matthew, some of them saw him and they doubted. In other words, they didn't quite understand. Who is this? Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus. And was he in a different form? Doesn't say. So we can't really draw any conclusions on that. It was his resurrected body, though. We know that. It was his resurrected body. And it had been pretty banged up. And he's going to carry those scars throughout eternity, according to Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. He's going to have those scars throughout eternity. Okay. Luke 24, 13 to 32 provides the narrative details of Jesus' fourth resurrection appearance, and it was actually an amazing event as Jesus, of course, had a conversation with them along the road. And then the fifth appearance, I see we're out of time because I started late. Are we out of time? Because I think the clock up there is not right. Yeah, we're out of time. So I'll just quickly say this about the fifth appearance. According to John chapter 20, verse 19, they were behind locked doors. Who was? All of the disciples except for two. Judas wasn't there. He was dead. And then Thomas wasn't there. So Jesus appears out of nowhere to the disciples. It's evening. Could it be about this time? He appears to them. And then they're like in disbelief. They can't believe what it is that they see happening. And Jesus said, well, look at... touch me and see, a ghost doesn't have flesh and bone as you see I have, so touch me, I'm real, I'm here. And they were still like, is this really happening? And then Jesus says, well, give me some fish and give me some honeycomb and give me something to eat. He didn't say give me fish, but give me something to eat. And so they gave him some fish and honeycomb and he ate it to say, I'm real, I'm not a ghost. Okay, and so the disciples... wow, they were amazed over all of this, and they realized, you know, this is really happening. Well, what was the context of this fifth appearance? The two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they hiked all the way down 7 miles to their home, And then when they realized it was Jesus, they ran back uphill another 7 miles to meet the disciples in this room to tell them what they saw. And while they're telling the disciples, now they're believing these guys. They wouldn't believe the women, but these guys, hey, yeah, we really saw him. We saw him. And then he shows up in the midst of them all. And it's an amazing thing. And then he explained to them all the scriptures that had predicted these events up to that point. He covered the writings and the Psalms and the prophets, and he wouldn't you have liked to have been there to hear that Bible study? I sure would. He just sort of gives a general, and he covered all this. That's what happened that day. Isn't that fun? I love this. I love looking forward to this day once a year to go over what actually happened during that day. These five appearances, beginning with what happened early in the morning. And I'd like to direct a movie. So if anybody knows who has some money and wants the film done right, I'll be more than happy to tell them what to do and where to place them all. And then we'll get it done right. Wasn't that fun? That's then.
How many years ago?
1983 years ago. 17 more years till it's an equal 2,000 years from the time he rose from the dead. Wow, 17 more years. Think about that. We'll be at 2,000 years since he rose from the dead. That's not too far away, is it? For young people, it is, because they don't understand time like we do, right? Some of us in here, we've seen time fly by. Thank you, Lord Father, for your word. Thank you for your spirit to help us understand these things and to eat the chicken and spit out the bones. We give you the rest of this evening that you may be glorified in it in our thoughts as we reflect on your word, we study your word, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said together, now go out with the knowledge that he loves you, he cares for you, he has your steps ordered as you make your plans. He's not going to allow anything to happen to you that he already hasn't ordained. And you know what? We shouldn't have any cares, any burdens. And if you do have a burden, give it to him, okay? Give it to him. Because that's what he specializes in, taking your burdens and making them light. That's what he does. So go with that knowledge and make it happen in your life. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.